a guten Chodesh, a guten Erev Shabbos. Parsha Shoftim. The Torah tells us, Shoftim v'shotrim titein l'cha b'chol sha'arecha, that judges and officers shall you appoint in all of your cities, asher Hashem elokecha nosein l'cha l'shvatecha, which Hashem, your God, gives you for your shvatim, for your tribes. And Rashi comes and teaches us what exactly are the Shoftim v'shotrim. The Shoftim are the Dayanim, are the judges, haposkim es hadin, who pass judgment. And the Shotrim are the Rodin es ha'am, who impose the authority over the people, achar mitzvasam, following the order of the Dayanim. One would think that the Torah should have first discussed Shotrim v'shoftim titein l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. After all, first you have the Shoter, you have the people that have the responsibility upon the people to ensure that there is civility, ensure that people are doing what they need to do. If only then, when the people aren't following the ways of the land, only then do you bring them before a judge. Do you bring them before a shofet? Nobody comes lechatchila to a judge first. First you have the police officers who are manning the town, who are coming and standing on the street corners. If they see someone is not acting appropriately or properly, is not following the laws, then you bring him before a shofet. And therefore, the pasuk should first say, Shotrim v'shoftim titein l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. Seemingly, in theory, if you have total civility, everyone is doing whatever they're supposed to be doing, there wouldn't be a need for a shofet. Shotrim are the ones that ensure that civility. So first the Torah should say Shotrim and then Shoftim. Why is it first Shoftim and then Shotrim? And that's our first question for today. The Torah tells us, the Klal Yisrael ki savo el ha'ares asher Hashem elokech nosein l'cha, when you come to the land that Hashem your God gives you, v'yishta v'yishavta ba, and possess it and settle in it, v'amarta, you'll say, Asima olai melech kechol hagoyim asher siviv osai. I will set a king over myself like all the nations that are around me. So tosim olech melech, you shall surely set over yourself a king, asher yivchar Hashem elokech abo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall choose. And then the Torah comes and tells us, once this king is already put into place, there are responsibilities that are placed upon the king. Rak lo yarbe lo susim, only he shall not have too many horses. Yoshiv esa'a Mitzrayimah, and he will not return the people to Mitzrayim. Leman harbo sus, in order to increase the horses. V'Hashem amar lachem lo sosifun lo shuv baderech hazeot. You shall no longer return on this road again. And again, the king as well can't have too many wives, so forth and so on. But the question that one has to ask, based upon the pasuk that we originally read of Rak lo yarbe lo susim, so the Torah says Rak lo yarbe lo susim v'lo yoshiv es ha'am Mitzrayim leman harbos sus. Why is it that the beginning of the pasuk, when talking about the horses, it speaks about it in the plural lo yarbe lo susim, which makes sense. He shall not have too many horses for himself, leman harbos sus. But then when the Torah comes and discusses the very same horses that the king should not have, he should not have a multitude of horses. So now it doesn't use the plural, but it uses the singular form of susim, and it says sus. It should say, Rak lo yarbe lo susim, lo yoshev es ha'mitzrayim, leman harbo susim. But yet the Torah comes and discusses many horses susim, and then, only then, leman harbo, so it doesn't say susim, but rather it says sus. Why is it that it first begins in the plural and ends off in the singular? It doesn't seem congruent to the style or to what the Torah is trying to convey, that the king should not have plural many, many horses, because ultimately it will bring people, it will bring the nation back to Mitzrayim, which obviously we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that lo sosifon loshuv baderech hazeot. And that's our second question. Our third and final question, it's very, very interesting. The Torah tells us in Perichof, Pasuk Beis, Torah says, V'hoya kikar v'chem el hamilchama. It shall be that when you bring near to the war, so v'nigash ha-kohen v'diber el-ha'am, so the Kohen shall approach and he shall speak to the people, v'omar lahem, and he shall say to them, Shema Yisrael, hear Yisrael, atem krevim hayom la-milchama, today you are coming near to the battle, aloi veichem, over your enemies, and therefore, al yerach levavchem, let your heart not be weak, al tiru, don't be afraid, v'al tachpisu, v'al tarzu mipneyem, do not panic, and do not break down before them. Essentially, it was the responsibility of the Kohen of being mechazek, of inspiring the people, of giving them that speech that wants to make them come and feel committed to this war that they can accomplish, they can do. What an unbelievable experience to hear from the Kohen as they're about to go out to battle. What is it that the Kohen indeed is telling them? He's telling them, Shema Yisrael. Rashi comes and says that what the Kohen is telling them, Afilu ein bochem schus, even if you don't have any other merit, Ela Kriya Shema bilvad, only the mitzvah of reciting Kriya Shema alone, Kedai Atem, you are worthy, Sheoshia Eschem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save you. That's the chizuk that the Kohen is coming and telling the people. Lest be afraid, don't be worried, because if you have Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that should be sufficient enough for you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and save you. Very difficult to digest, in lieu especially, since the Torah, in just a few psukim beyond that, the shotrim now come and speak to the people. V'dibru hashotim ela'om le'mor. The officers shall speak to the people, saying, Mio ish asher bona bayis chodesh v'lo chanocho. Who is this man who has built a new house and has not yet inaugurated it? Yelech v'yoshev le'beso. Let him go back to his house, penyomus ba'melchama, lest he come and die in battle, v'yishacher yichanchenu, and another man will come and inaugurate him. Mio ish. And then the Torah continues and tells us that the shoter is coming before the people as they're going out to battle. Mio ish asher nota karen v'lo chilulo. Yelech v'yoshev le'beso. Who is this man that has planted a vineyard and has not yet been mechalalit, let him go back to his house, lest he dies in battle, and some other man will do it. Or mi ha'ish asher eras, isha v'lo lekocha. Who is this man who has betrothed a woman, and he has not yet married her? Yelech v'yoshev lebeso, let him go back to his home, penyomus ba'milchama, lest he die in battle. And what would happen, v'ish acher yichachena, and then some other man would come and take his wife. What exactly are we talking about here? What's going on? What is this speech that ultimately the shoter is coming and telling his people? So comes along Rashi and tells us that it's actually a machloikes tanoim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. Rabbi Akiva says that it's kimashmo. It's as it sounds, she'eno yochol la'amod, that he's not able to withstand the kishri ha'mochama, the hardships, the difficulties of battle, v'liros cherev shalufa, to see a sword that's drawn opposite him. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Omer, he says, no, hayore me'avero shebiyodo, one who is fearful because of sins he has, u'lekach tolsa lo Torah, this is why the Torah provides him with a pretext, lachzor al bayis v'kerem v'isha, returning to his house, his vineyard, to his wife, or his wife, lachasos al achozrim b'shvil averos shebeyosam, to cover up for those who return because of the sins they have, shel yavino, so that people shouldn't be able to say shehem bali avera, they are the sinners. V'haroeu chozer omar, and one who sees him returning will say, shema bona bayis, perhaps he built a house. O nata kerem, or planted a vineyard. O eres isha, or perhaps he betrothed a wife. Chazal tell us, what is the avera shebiyado? So the Gemara Maseches Sota Daf Mem Dalet Omer Aleph tells us, Va'afilu sach bein tefillin shel yad letefillin shel rosh, that even if he talked between placing on the tefillin for his yad and the tefillin for his rosh, avera hi biyado, so this is an avera that's in his hand, and ultimately he would not come in battle lest he die because of his averos. So what's going on here? We just got through saying that even the schus of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, even if you are coming and doing battle, you're an avaria and you're a sinner, but you have the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the Kohen comes and tells you that that is sufficient enough to be victorious in battle, to come back alive. And yet now the shoter, before they're going to battle, is saying, no, even if you come and you speak between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, you have no schusin. There's nothing that's going to save you. Go home to your family. Go home because of your vineyard or your house or your wife. Seems to be that the schus of Kriya Shema shouldn't work. It should be that what the shoter is saying is indeed accurate. That because of the sins that a person has, it seems to be even something so insignificant is not enough to bring this person to survive this battle. And yet the Kohen comes and tells us that Shema Yisrael is sufficient enough. Truth is that for any ordinary or king, it wouldn't be sufficient. Person has rules. The king governs a community, a country by rules. And there are certain rules that if you break them, you're going to deserve death. You're not going to live. The community runs based upon the rules that were dictated by the king or the government. And if he doesn't follow those rules, he's going to be put to death. Seemingly, one of those halachos is talking between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. That is enough to cause a person to die in battle. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors Klal Yisrael. Even if there is a halacha that talking between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh is enough cause for a person not to survive a battle, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't pull the plug upon his beloved children, Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seduced. He favors us. And the Gemara itself in Maseches Brachos comes and acknowledges as such. The Gemara comes and says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not allowed to get bribed. That's a halacha in your Torah. V'lo yisa Hashem panav. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes bribes from Bnei Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael. He's seduced by us. In other words, the same pasuk in this week's parsha that says that a shofet or a shoter is not allowed, the chacham is not allowed to take a bribe. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to his Torah himself when it comes to Klal Yisrael, and ultimately he's seduced by us. The Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis, tells us, "My Shochad." What is this word Shochad? The Gemara says Shehu Chad. It's one. You become one. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? Shehu Chad, you become one. Hanosein v'hamekabel. The nosein, the one that gives and the one that accepts. Nasim lev echad. Ultimately become one. We become one unit. And that is Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Klal Yisrael comes and says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When we come and pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu Echad, He is the one. ultimately that creates a kirva, that creates a relationship where we are now hanosein v'hamekabel, nasim lev echad. The nosein, ultimately in this context, we are coming and acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchus over the world, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel our tefillah, and we become lev echad. The Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So ultimately speaking, to speak between the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh is an egregious avera that ultimately would cause a person to die in battle. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael, because we seduced him, we bribed him, he accepted our shochad, that now the nosin and the mekabel, nasim lev echad, he accepted when we come and pronounce Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Whatever we had done in the past is forgotten. And therefore, we've entered into this lev echad relationship where we are unified. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael are chadi. All it takes is Shema Yisrael Hashem and Elokeinu Hashem Echad for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forget all of our iniquities, to forget everything that we've ever done that was trying to lessen that relationship, as long as we come and we acknowledge Shema Yisrael Hashem and Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the Shochad. So even when we come and we've done something wrong and we stand before the judge, but what we do is we slip the judge something. We slip him a Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Shochad, the Echad, Hanosin V'Hamakabel Nasim Lev Echad. We become one. But the reality is, however much Klal Yisrael wants to become one, just as we seduce Hashem, the Yetzer Hara comes and seduces us. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh comes in this week's Parsha, and he tells us, based upon the pasuk of V'chi Yeh Ish Sone L'Re'ehu, but if there will be a man who is Sone L'Re'ehu, he hates his fellow, V'arav Lo, and ambushes him. So what are we talking about here? Become olav, v'hiko nefesh b'meis, and rises up against him and strikes him and kills him. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, what are we talking about? We're talking about Satan, the Yetzer Hara. As the pasuk says, ki ish sonei, if there shall be a man who hates, ki ein sonei l'adam ki yitzro hara. For a person has no enemy like his Yetzer Hara, based upon the Gemara in Meseches Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Omed Aleph, V'hu Mikor Hasina, and the Yetzer Hara is the source of all hatred between men. Ki hu mare reos lakol. The Yetzer Hara, he wants people to think that he loves them. Making it seem that he's advising them for their benefit. What's really happening? He hates the person, and ultimately he seeks his harm with an approach of love and friendship. But ultimately, va'arav, he ambushes him. The Yetzer Hara ambushes a person and ultimately causes him to sin. And that's what's going on. Ultimately, the Yetzer Hara creates and conjures up an image, makes him think that there's so much to accomplish, so much to gain, so much that the world has to offer, so many possessions that a person could accrue. So at first, the Yetzer Hara comes and tells the king, or for that matter, all of us, there's so many horses out there. Go gather as much as you can. Come and take whatever you can. Take all of the suses, all of the money, all of the houses. Take it all. It's all for your taking. And what a person does is he spends his entirety of his life searching for the next home, the next horse, the next deal, the next windfall. And ultimately, when a person comes and he accomplishes and he gets the house, he gets the houses, he realizes that what the Yetzirah told me was many, is so much, I'm going to feel so happy, look at all that I have. At the end of the day, a person will feel empty. He'll always feel like he has only one sus. A person thinks, Oev Kesef, I love money. Once I have all of that money, I'm going to finally be satisfied. It's not true because Oev Kesef, Lo Yizbo Kesef. Person has a mana, Rotza Masayim. He has one, he needs two. He loves money, he's never satisfied. He needs more money. The Yetzer Hara comes and makes a person think, I finally have all of these homes. But little does this person know that the Yetzer Hara is just trying to doom him. He's trying to kill him. He's waiting in ambush. He's advising him what he thinks. The person thinks that he's being advised in an appropriate way. Go, go, go and get all of that wealth. Accrue all of that money. Buy all of those homes. Secure all of those horses. And then you'll be happy, says the Yetzer Hara to this person. And he listens to this Yetzer Hara. But when it's all said and done, when he accrued all of that wealth and he bought all those homes and has all of those cars and all of those watches and all of those horses, at the end of the day, he still feels empty. He feels as if he has one horse. He's accomplished nothing. And of course, we know Chazal tells us that when you open up the Yetzer Hara, when you open up Pesach for the Yetzer Hara, there's no stopping. There's nothing that you can possibly accomplish. As the Or HaChaim continues to tell us, Gam masbir lo panim al maaseh hara, that the Yetzer Hara is an ambusher. That what he does is he makes the ra, the evil, the maisim royim, the evil deeds, he makes it pleasant to a man. V'yomer l'ra tov, and he says about evil that is good. V'ein l'cha orev gadol mizeh. There's no greater ambusher. U'bezeh misgaber olav. And that is the way that he is able to overpower him. The Or HaChaim then continues as well. U'bezeh mosi shar hatzar likonis l'nefesh. The way that the Yetzer Hara seduces, all it takes him is to do something b'shogeg, unwilling or unknowingly, is this person coming and just giving the keys to the Yetzer Hara for him to totally destroy him. Ki yesh l'cha l'dash avera rishona. You must know, says the Or HaChaim, that the first sin that a person commits, sha'osa adam eino osa ela kishkaga, he's only doing it without knowledge. Go, accrue all that wealth, and you think you're doing something positive. You're getting great advice. But once you listen, once you listen, the Yetzer Hara is in, never to leave. And that's why it starts with the plural, but ultimately you come and appreciate it's too late. I still feel empty. And that is precisely explains Ramosha Feinstein why it first says in the Torah, Shoftim and then Shotrim. That a person needs to be a Shofate first. He has to be able to judge, to figure out what is legitimate, what is not. What is the Yetzer Hara, what's the Yetzer Tov? When I'm being told to go and buy all of those homes, all of those watches, accrue wealth at the expense of my ruchnius, my spirituality, my family, my equilibrium, my being able to have balance in life. Is it my Yetzer Hara or is it my Yetzer Tov? why is it that I'm doing this? Is it for my own ego or is it not? Person first needs to be a shofet. He needs to be a judge. He needs to be able to ascertain whatever life is throwing at me. Is it the Yetzirah that's trying to seduce me? A person has a very difficult task. In every stage in life, there's always a fork in the road. Do I go right? Do I go left? If I go right, these are the ramifications. If I go left, these are the consequences. First and foremost, we're shoftim. Our entire lives, we have to make split-second decisions. First, we're a shofet. And only then, once we've judged, so now we can have the shoter that's coming and implementing. And now coming after I weigh all of those decisions. So now the shofet judges, the shofet determined that this is good and this isn't. And now the shoter will come and implement whatever it was that the shofet had decided was best for me. And that's also why it says, shoftim v'shotrim titein l'cha. Seemingly, the Torah is speaking to lachem, is speaking to the plural, placed before all of you in the plural sense. But the pasuk says, l'cha, it's to you, that every single person, it's incumbent upon every person to make himself a shofet that's able to discern between what the Yetzirah is telling me, trying to kill me, seduce me, waiting, lying in ambush in order to knock me. And then once I've decided and determined what's best, now I go and shoter, I implement l'cha, it's for you, it's for all of us. And that ultimately is what the Torah is telling us is necessary to ensure that we forever remain echad to Hashem. So ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take a bribe. And ultimately, even in his Torah, it tells us that if a person talks between Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad, he's punishable to die in battle. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears us seduce him with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Echad is the Shochad, is the Nosein and the Mekabel, becoming kichad, nasim lev echad, we ultimately become one unified being where we are forever intertwined with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Life has its challenges. Life has its distortions. Life has confusion. But we always have to appreciate that we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that ultimately will allow us to be our own shofet. We have our Torah, we have our Chachamim, we have our wise people, which is exactly why the Torah tells us that when a Talmud Chacham, when a Tzaddik comes and says something, don't deviate right or left. Because if we leave it to our own intuition, most times than not, we are seduced by the Yetzer Hara. He destroys us, he attacks us. And that's precisely why the Torah is telling us, take that tzaddik, listen to what he has to say, because know that he has no negius. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a student of his own Chachma. He's someone that has a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that perhaps more than us, he is Nasim, he has Nasim Lev Echad, he has become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is close to Hashem, so ultimately, he decides and he discerns what's best for Hashem. He is the ultimate shofet. And then he can come and implement without worrying about the seduction of the Yetzer Hara. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Emir Hashem, we should be zoche as we enter the month of Elul. Today is Rosh Chodesh Elul. We should be zoche to be our shofet, to minimize the advances of the Yetzer Hara. And through that, we should ultimately have a meaningful Elul where we inch towards becoming Hanosin v'hamekabel nasim lev echad. Have a good Shabbos and a good Chodesh.